Good evening, Lock Haven Baptist Church and church family. We're glad that you have joined us here in the pastor study this Wednesday evening. We're thankful to be able to have the opportunity just to go to the Lord in a time of study and prayer and intercession on behalf of our church family. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and let's see what choir song the choir is going to sing for us here in just a moment. Father, thank you, Lord, for another opportunity just to be here and together through technology with our church family. We're thankful, Lord, that you've given us this day to serve you. And Lord, as we close out this Wednesday evening service, we ask you, Lord, tonight to fill our spiritual gas tanks, Lord, for the rest of this week, that we might look to you for strength and glory and honor, glorify and honor you in our lives. And let this world see that there is a God in heaven, and he loves them, and he cares for them, and he desires to be their Father through salvation in Jesus Christ. Help us, Father, to do our part. In Jesus' name, amen. Looking for that day, and our blessed Lord we shall see. Good to see all of you folks here with us. Good to see folks from out of state. We have several announcements that we're going to make here today. Let's see here. Friday, don't forget Friday, 11 o'clock. If you are in need of bread or pastries, come by the church at 11 o'clock and pick those items up. They're donated to us fresh from Publix for our community, our church family. And it has been a blessing to many that have been coming by and getting those and taking them to their neighbors and staying involved with our communities with the outreach there. And that is a blessing. Sunday, 11 o'clock in person and live here in the church. So if you're able to come at our Sunday morning, 11 o'clock service, we will be in the auditorium meeting. Remember to do your social distancing, stay 6 feet away. You know, the Bible says if they ask you to go a mile, go twain or go 2 miles. So if you decide you want to stay 10 feet away, that is clearly fine with us. Make sure you're sitting with your family and your household on the pew, and there is at least one pew. I'd prefer two pews, but at least one pew between each row we sit on. You know, if you're sick, if you're sneezing, fever, whatever the case may be, just plan to stay home. Come back and be with us the next Sunday. But this Sunday, 11 o'clock, in person, and it will be in live. So looking forward to that. Now, we did make a change on Sunday to our Bible time with the kids. Sister Dyer and Jared will meet at 4 o'clock on the church Facebook page live on Sundays from now on, 4 o'clock. That way, their family has the opportunity to get dressed and be here at our 11 o'clock service, and then have time to get back home and be ready, and it doesn't hinder anybody that wants to be here. Now, for the time being, there will not be a nursery provided. We do encourage you, if you want to come with your kids that are nursery age, to sit towards the back, work with them, use this time as an opportunity to train. You will not hinder anybody's worship. If a child hinders someone's worship, then they need to maybe mature a little bit. But we've got to work together on this. And so if you're going to bring a child, there will not be a nursery provided at this point. We will get back to those in small increments, but they will not be provided here. Saturday prayer time with Sister Kim, 3 o'clock FaceTime, ladies. Get your prayer list in and meet with her at 3 o'clock on her Facebook page. I do have an announcement for our seniors, all the graduating seniors of this year. We need you to get to Brother Ray a 5x7 photo so that he can make a display in the church to honor you this year. I know this is a difficult time for you guys, so we as a church want to do our part to do the best we can to honor you. And so Brother Ray is doing a display for all of our seniors. So parents, help. I know they're seniors, but help them get a 5x7 photo in a frame to Brother Ray by Friday. Would be a tremendous blessing if you would help us to do that. Certainly want to be able to help that. Now, we're going to go into our prayer list time right now. I'm going to go ahead and start a instrumental song. And if you have a prayer list, go ahead and start typing those in, and we'll get those prayed for. The other folks that have joined us will also be able to see them and pray for them. So let's go ahead and do our prayer time here in the church time. Let's see, I'm going to turn this down maybe. Oh, it's fine. Our church family, our deacons, the ministries of the church that we keep going. I see that Lisa Wolf has a kidney infection there that Ashley has brought up. Our elected officials and our law enforcement, our health care providers, all of our first responders, those that have unspoken requests, especially our missionaries during this time. This being tremendous, tremendous prayer for our missionaries as we go through this. Our list of folks that are on cancer list. Sister Ellen Rankin has had some news that she's going to have some other things done, so let's be in prayer for her. Mary Walters is recovering from her surgeries. Sister Bass tells us there. The medical issues that we're having through our church and church family. Think about those that are going to be traveling here in the next couple of weeks. We're going to have Sister Betty Collins coming back home next week. Sister Jeanette Phillips, be in prayer for her. She's back. They had the funeral. Be in prayer for Brother Jim as he gets through these next couple of weeks. Let's go ahead and let's go to the Lord in prayer. I think Brother Mike Nelson had a friend that lost a son as well, he told me about. So let's be in prayer for them. Sister Lois is traveling. Her uncle passed away. They're at a funeral up in Pennsylvania. So be in prayer for that family as well. So a lot of things we can pray about. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we will get to a special song here in just a moment. I think we have Sister Lois keyed up tonight to sing special for us. I see one more popped up there. Please pray for Brother Greg Stevens, his mom, Margie Stevens. She had a fever and chills, muscle aches earlier. So be in prayer for her as they figure out what's going on with her. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, that we have this opportunity to pray as a church together. We do have a list of people that we pray for and that we look at daily, and we ask God that you would intercede on their behalf. We ask you, God, for the encouragement and comfort that those that have lost loved ones and family members during this past week, Lord, that you would help them and strengthen them and encourage them. Help us as a church family to do our part to love on them and comfort them. God, our elected officials, our first responders, our health care and medical workers, Lord, those that work in the truck driving industry, those that work at the supermarkets and places of that nature that we are able to sustain ourselves, we ask you, God, to protect them, keep them safe. Lord, as Florida begins to move forward in opening up next week, I pray, God, that you would help us to be careful, to be cautious, to do our part to get through this pandemic that we're going through. And Lord, we just ask you to give us wisdom here as a church family as we begin to meet again. Help us to be cautious and careful during this time. And God, we're looking forward to a great time together tonight. And we ask you as we open your word tonight, you would open our hearts and mind, and that you would teach us something that help us to be more Christ-like, that we would be more honoring to you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to be in Psalms 37 tonight. If you'll go ahead and get your Bibles turned there, let's listen to Sister Lois as she sings.
Just before he started down there.
Amen. Every step you take, may it bring us back to the Lord. Though we wander, though we stray, He will always be there with us if we're His child. And He's waiting and wanting us back. Psalms 37 tonight, we're going to spend the afternoon, the evening here, looking at verse 4, but I want to read verses 1 through 7. Now, we looked at this here chapter not too long ago, so many of us will remember. So, wow, Pastor, we just looked at this chapter, this here portion, not too long ago. We did. But I want to come back tonight, and I want to spend time in verse 4. But I'm going to read the chapter, and sometimes it's just it just does us good to go back and revisit and to meditate and to ponder a little bit on things. And I tell you, if you're like me, many times you get up to go to one room. I think this evening I left out of the church office. I went over to the church to use the restroom, and Brother Ray was in there working on his display. And I got to talking with him. He asked me a question, and we spent a little time discussing that. And I walked right back out of the door and didn't realize I didn't go to the restroom till I got back. I had forgot what I went into the church to do. So sometimes, even if we would have read this morning, it just does us good, because sometimes we just simply forget the passages that we have hidden in our heart and those that mean so much to us. Verse 1, chapter 37. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth the righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him whom prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Verse 4 again. I'm going to read that again. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, there's been times in my life that I have let down people. There's been times in my life that others have let me down. And it brought great heartache and pain and aggravation and frustration. There's been times that I've found something to be other than what it appeared. You know, it just appeared differently. My mind, you know, I had a preconceived idea on how something should be. Like, for instance, I ordered a kayak offline. I've been looking at kayaks. I want to go out here and I want to do a little kayak fishing. I want to do it, you know, in some of these smaller lakes. And so I found one for $99. I know what you're saying. But the picture looks so great. It looks like, wow, this is amazing. Now, it hasn't gotten here yet. I'm still waiting on it to arrive. I certainly hope it matches up to half of the picture that I saw. But sometimes things just simply are not what they appear to be. There's been times that I have lost interest in some things that I thought I was going to truly enjoy. I have been... Over the last 2 months, I've really been shooting my bow and arrow a lot, and I really enjoyed it. But last year, I didn't get a chance to even pull it out of the closet. I was just so busy running to and fro. And I thought, you know, I've almost lost interest in this, but this year I have really enjoyed shooting my bow. But there's been some other things that I've just simply lost interest in doing. There's been some times that there's been some failed satisfactions in some things. I've set out to do, I've had them, I wanted to achieve something, but it didn't bring nearly the amount of satisfaction as I thought it was going to be. But I want you to understand something, dear friend. I have let people down. You have let people down. We've found many things that did not appear what we thought they was going to be in our preconceived idea. We've lost satisfaction. But I'm going to tell you, dear friend, this verse, boy, when I was reading and I was looking at it, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. My God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not once in my lifetime let me down. There's not been a time when I spent time at the feet of the Lord that I left unsatisfied. So when I looked at this today, now this whole portion of Scripture, I mean, there is sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon in here. We can look at this here portion and we can look at what's going on today in our life and we can say, wow. But just for this evening, just for this evening, I want to spend a little time on a positive note. When you think about this word delight, it is derived from a word or from words that mean with great joy, with overwhelming pleasure. It comes from a word that means very highly pleased. When we look at this word, it says delight in the Lord. Delight. Well, that means we're with great joy. God's never let us down. We've never left unsatisfied from the foot of the cross or the throne room of God. The Psalms 23 says, my cup runneth over. There's an old gospel song that I heard years ago, and I almost looked it up and had it queued up, ready to play. It's called Drinking from the Saucer, meaning when your cup is run over and it spills over into that cup, that saucer. Listen, that's how God leaves us. So, you know, with great pleasure, highly pleased, We have, our God has went over and beyond and far what we could expect when we look at the rate of return on His investment. I mean, dear friend, just to let us have two lungs full of oxygen in the morning when we wake up is far more than we deserve. I mean, being satisfied, you know, the luxury, the benefits of our God, to take great pleasure. And the psalmist here, in the midst of a psalm, when he's writing about the enemy and the evildoer excelling, sometimes that's different. That's where we at. Our eyes are so focused and caught on those that love not God and care not about the things of God, and it seems as though they're way out there and they're achieving and overachieving, and we're so focused on them, we forget about the God of heaven. And he says here, delight. Delight. I mean, with great joy. And then he says, delight thyself. When I think about that, that there, now it's bringing action into this here verse that we're reading. There's some kind of decision that is going to be necessary for us, for me, thyself, delight. I have to make a decision. I have to choose. I have to look at this and I have to put some action into it. And I'm not delighting in the cares of this world, because he said, cast all your care upon me, for I care for you. I'm not delighting in the things of this world, because I'm not to be in love with this world. I'm not to be, this is not my home, like Abraham said. I'm just passing through. I'm looking for a city whose builder maker is God. I'm to seek first the kingdom of God. I'm to love God with all my heart, with all my might, with all my strength. I'm to delight in the Lord. I'm to delight in Him. In Psalms 37:4, as we study this out and we look at it, so the psalmist now says, thyself. So you and I, we're going to have to make some decisions. We're going to have to make some choices. There's going to be some action on our part to delight in what? Well, he goes on and says, delight thyself also in the Lord, because we know that we delight in other things. Isn't it amazing how the Lord put that there? Delight thyself also. He's not trying to take things from us, but he has to be first. He has to have first place. He has to have the throne of our heart. We're not to be in love with this world and let this world overtake our passion and our drive and our affections. We're to have those things. The world and the earth and all that therein is, it belongs to God, and it's for our use and for our goodness. And for us to be able to enjoy. But he says here that we're to delight. That means to take great pleasure, overwhelming pleasure, overwhelming joy, great joy in the Lord. And we're to do this. The psalmist says, delight thyself. And so we're going to have to do this. It says, here's some things. I wrote down a few things. I got a few things listed here. Some qualities of God that should help us to delight in Him. So as we look at these, here's just a few things. His presence. You know, the Bible says, He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. The presence of God. The psalmist also wrote, he said, as if I was to make my bed in the depths of the earth, and the presence of the Lord is there. The presence. His very presence is with us. No matter where our feet trod, wherever we go, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. These are some things that we can delight in. When he says, delight thyself also in the presence of the Lord. How about the person of God? I'll be honest with you, dear friend. If we hear about somebody that's coming to town, if we hear about some famous person that's going to be, visiting our city, man, we get excited. And because of their accomplishments and what they've achieved and who they are and our relationship to whatever they've done. You know, if it's a sports figure, some of you could care less. But if it's a doctor, or if it's a teacher, if it's a book writer, a poet, there are some people that we get excited in visiting. But the person of God, if we were to meditate upon Scripture and look at Scripture from the end to the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation, in the book of Revelation, on John on the Isle of Patmos, Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. The writer of Hebrews tells us, he said that Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. The Bible says that Jesus Christ and God are from everlasting to everlasting. This is the person of God. Can we delight in the person of God? How about His power? I mean, you just think about it for a moment. That the Word of God, it spoke, and there was light. The Word of God is the Word of God was spoken in Genesis, and there was giraffes and gorillas, and there were fish, and there were seed-bearing plants. This is the power of God. And it translates all the way up into the New Testament. Whenever Jesus was asleep in the bottom of a boat and there was a great storm, and Jesus stood up in this great, powerful storm, and He said, "Peace, be still." Can we delight in the power of God? How about His provision? I mean, the very provision of God. You know, the Bible teaches us that God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. David wrote and said, "I'm young. I've been young, and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous begging for bread." He's a provider. The provision that's there. How about this one? How about the very patience of God? When, dear friend, we ought to be consumed, His compassions are renewed every day. The patience with dealing with mankind. I mean, you look at the Scriptures, and we have the Word of God that is preserved and kept. It's absolute. The Word of God, as it tells the story of God dealing with mankind, all the way down through the nation of Israel, then think about you and I personally, how God has been patient with us. When we have moaned and murmured, complained and faltered and failed, have been unfaithful at times in our life, have not been the proper representative, the ambassador of Christ that we should be, and yet He is patient, like the prodigal son's father who waited and waited and waited, as Sister Lois sung that song earlier. Oh, the patience. How about the peace of God? These are just simple attributes that we could go through, and we could keep going, and we could keep listing them and looking at them and finding there are so many things that we could delight in the Lord our God. And the psalmist reminds us in Psalms 37:4, "Delight thyself also in the Lord." So, Pastor, what are some things that what can we do? How can we show that we are delighted in ourselves? Because if we delight in ourselves, dear friend, iron sharpeneth iron, and we need a revival like never before in our Christian circles. And who knows that it doesn't start with you and I. There's several of the men of the church and I that are going through a Bible study about awakening. And last week we finished it up. And you know, one way that we can be awakened ourselves and made alive and put on fire and a drive and a desire for and a hunger and a thirst for the things of God is that we have a thorough study of God Himself. The more we know about Him, the more we can delight in Him. Well, you know, and we just do not enjoy at all going shopping. I do not enjoy it at all. But I tell you, I like watching people. I like studying people and look at them. I like looking at several different pastors and watching their mannerisms and how they interact with their congregation and studying them. When's the last time you studied God? I mean, you just studied Him. I remember times in my life as I've paused and I've looked and I saw a flower blooming at a special time, or I saw, the river or the creek or the stream, looking at even a fire in a fireplace and thinking about God and who He really is. And, for myself, am I constantly aware of the very presence of God? I mean, this is a way that we can delight in the Lord, is that we're constantly. When He said, "I'll never leave thee or forsake thee," dear friend, if we make ourselves aware of His presence, I mean, worship at any time could break out because He's with us. I mean, seeking His face, I mean, face to face. You know, the Bible says that we can come boldly to the throne of God. You and I as individuals, He rent the veil from top to bottom, so that you and I could have access to the throne room, the very holiest of holies. You and I can enter. You know what He told Moses? He said, "Moses, I'm going to hide you in the cleft of the rock. And I'm going to pass by and I'm going to let you see the hinder parts, because no man could see me and live in all my glory. But God now rent the veil so you and I can enter in, and face to face we can know Him." How about a submission to the Holy Spirit of God like never before? Like the Bible teaches in Romans chapter 6, that we yield ourselves as an instrument of righteousness. How about we take the example of the Lord God in the Garden of Gethsemane when He said, "I want this cup to pass, Father, but nevertheless, Thy will be done." You know how we can show that we are delighting ourselves in the Lord? We're submissive to the very will of God for our life. We were submissive to God, and we allow God's will to be done in our life. We're constantly aware, mentally, physically, that God is with us. And we're always looking to study Him and to find passages of Scripture that brings His awareness and who He is and the person of God and the person of Christ more vividly. How else in the world are we going to love the Lord God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all our strength, if we don't even know exactly who He is? But we have His Word. The Bible is His way of making Himself known to you and I. Delight thyself also in the Lord. But it doesn't stop there. This gets better. This verse, Psalms 37:4, gets much, much better as we read it. It gets more gooder as we read it. Trust in the Lord. I mean, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He, look at the relationship now, look at the aspect of the relationship, delight thyself in the Lord, that's me, I make a decision to delight, to have great pleasure in the Lord, to have I'm overwhelmingly pleased. I don't have this attitude, "God, where yet, why are you doing this? Why am I in this situation, God? If it wasn't for you, God." No. I am pleased and overwhelmed in the situation that I am found in. I am content with where the Lord has led me. Because He's almighty, He's all-knowing, He's all-powerful, He's a provider, He's my buckler, He's my shield. And what is the result? Because I'm delighting in Him, as a result, He shall give me the desires of thine heart. I mean, this is amazing. I mean, this verse, there's so much in here. Because of what I do, because of the choices I make, the action that I take, because I choose to delight in the Lord, and I know Him for who He is, He now says, because of this relationship that I have chosen to cultivate, that I have made personal for me, now He's going to give me the desires of my heart. I mean, the gift is a result. The desires of my heart is a result of me delighting in God. Now, let's pause for a moment, because some of us have already had our minds work tricks on us and said, I want this, I want that, I want this, give me that, I want this, I want that, I want this. That's selfishness. We have a God that is a giving God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The desire of God's heart is, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. Now, we're not to delight in the Lord because we have gotten gifts. We delight in the Lord regardless of anything that He is, or will, or has not, or is going to give us. We delight in Him because He's worthy of our delight. We delight in Him. Now listen, it would be a dangerous thing for everybody to receive the desires of their heart, because the heart is wicked above all, and who can know it? Now when we have a heart for God and for the things of God, and we have a heart for God and what He wills for my life, then my desires begin to line up with God. My heart is now lined up with God's heart and God's will for my life. And then the things of God begin to overflow into my life. And all good things, all good gifts come from our Father, our God, which is in heaven. It would be total bedlam if everybody got the desires of their heart without the delighting in the heart and the person of God. It would be chaos. I mean, look at us now as a person, as a nation, as a country, when we have so many materialistic things ready at hand. We have to constantly have yard sales to get rid of the desires of our heart and the things that we thought we wanted and needed. We're constantly building storage buildings to store things. We have to pay a fee to store up. We're like the man in the Bible who said, wow, look at all this I have. I will tear down my barns, except we don't build barns. We build more storage houses. And the Bible, the Word of God said to that man, thou fool, tonight, thy soul is going to be required of thee. Now we got to be careful. Delight thyself. I mean, we have great pleasure in the Lord. We make a choice. We make a choice, and we look to God, and we, because of the person of God and who He is the perfection of God. You know, when He says, be ye holy, for I am holy, There's not a little bit of sin over there hidden in the backside of God's life. When he says, be ye holy for he's holy, he is holy. Without sin, without guile. Be ye holy. We delight, we have great pleasure in his protection, in who he is, his person. And he says, because of the relationship that we have chosen to cultivate, now he's going to give us the desires of our heart. Listen to what it says. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he, God, shall, look at the assurance. I mean, the great assurance. That's the same assurance that he says, if any man, if any person, any woman, any boy, girl, or child calls out to him in faith and repentance in Romans, and with a heart of confession and belief in Christ, they shall be saved. What assurance. Oh, the blessed assurance that we enjoy in the Lord. He says, he shall give. If you go back and you search up and you look up that word give in the Hebrew language, it is a word that is so freely. I mean, it's just giving out with abundance. It abounds. The giving of God abounds in as he gives. He didn't give a portion of salvation. He gave all of Christ so that we could have salvation to the uttermost. What a promise. This is a promise. Delight thyself also, Lord, and he shall. So he's promising us. It's conditional, but he's promising us, and his promises are yea and amen, the desires of our heart. Now here's where we got to clear all this positive thinking up. What is your wants? What is my wants? If we're going to get the desires of our heart, we have to have our wants lined up with what God wants, because it's his will that is what is important. It's the will of God that we need to line up with. Now, the word there is, I'll give thee the desires or the petitions of your heart. You know what the Lord said? Pray to the Lord of the harvest, for the fields are already white, but the laborers are few. When's the last time we prayed for laborers? That is that's the desires of God's heart. We got to line up our heart with him. Now he says, delight thyself also. Now you and I know that we have been blessed far beyond measure. But the need for laborers is still there. Still there. This conditioning of delighting in him lines our heart up with God. The closer we get to God, the nearer we draw to him, the more we become like him. Because the Holy Spirit of God lives within us. And he begins to crop out and to cultivate and begin to remove things and begins to align our lives up to the things of God. This verse is amazing. Think about this with me. We live in a world that is seldom satisfied. Remember I told you, I think it was Rockefeller, one quote Rockefeller, someone asking, Mr. Rockefeller, when and how much money is enough? And you know what he said? Just one more dollar. We're never satisfied. Do you understand that dissatisfaction takes over our lives and the toll of stress brought from that? That's what the Bible says, be content with what God has given us. Godliness and contentment are close together. When we're delighting in the Lord and we're content with the things that God has given us, we have less stress, more peace. God's a God of peace. He's a God of peace. I'm just going to tell you this, dear friend. In my life, I have found out that delighting in the Lord is a stress reliever. It is a stress reliever. Now, delight in the Lord is productive because now we have taken on the yoke of Christ and now we're laborers together with God. And God is about getting things done. And so as we, as a church, as an individual, as families, as we delight in the Lord, that delight determines my desires. My desires begin to line up with God and the things that He wants. And so therefore, my delight is defined by my desires. So the things that I desire tells everybody where my delight is. What are you delighting in? What's your desires? Delight thyself also in the Lord. Church, I have to tell you, there's times in my life where I allow my personal wants to override what God desires for me. What are we going to do about it? What are you going to do? What am I going to do? We've got to take some action here. We got to look at our own lives personally. The telltale is if my desires are contrary to God's desires, I'm not delighting in Him. But if my desires line up with Him, then I'm delighting in Him. I'm choosing to delight in Him. And as I choose to delight in Him, He gives me the desires of my heart and the pleasure, the overwhelming joy that I receive from there is amazing. Let's listen again to Blessed Assurance and then we'll close in prayer here in a moment. I hope that was a blessing to you because it surely was a blessing to me as we looked at that verse again. I know we looked at that portion not too long ago, but this verse did a lot for my heart this week. Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for loving us, for who You are. God, that we don't have a God that is made with the hands of man, but You are Creator and we are the creature and we have been created. And we are born again, part of Your family by faith and repentance in Christ Jesus. And Lord, as we have been grafted into Your family, we ask You, God, help us to delight in You. Give us a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. Help us to yield ourselves as instruments of righteousness. Help us as Your children, as Your servants, to study You, to look to You, to rest in You. And God, we give ourselves over to You. And we ask You to set a fire in our soul. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You have a blessed evening. I'm thankful to have met with you tonight. Looking forward to seeing y'all Sunday, 11 o'clock, live or in the house of God. God bless. Have a good evening.